I invite you to keep at that passage this morning. I was thinking about it. Year is 2004. I was much younger then. Some of you weren't even born yet, as I thought about that, and really made me kind of feel a little old. Some of our teenagers. But 2004, it's been an interesting season of football. It was this time of year. And we had my team, the Texas Longhorns, had this new young buck of a quarterback that was just proving to be quite a stud, named Vince Young. And the team's just kind of been going through the season, just blowing past other teams, all the fun of watching that as a fan. But they get into this home game against Oklahoma State. It's one of those Oklahoma teams, you know. But we're against Oklahoma State. It's supposed to be another pretty easy game for Texas at this point, the way they've been playing and the way they're looking and everybody. At halftime, though, Texas finds itself down by 4 touchdowns. The coach is going, what in the world is going on? I mean, Oklahoma State's playing this perfect game, and Texas is just fouling up all over the place. And everybody's going, what in the world? Mac Brown probably at that time is thinking, I'm going to lose my job. And so all of a sudden, they're going in. What's been reported is, though, they're headed into the locker room at halftime, again, down 28 points. And they look at the scores they're going in, and Vince Young walks up to Mac Brown as they enter into the tunnel, and he looks at the coach and says, don't worry, coach, we got this. Well, to put it into a short thing, they had it. They ended up winning by 21 points. Texas made this huge comeback, and it was kind of the precursor to things to come as they ended up going on into the Rose Bowl and beating Michigan and then pronouncing themselves, we'll be back, which meant they were going to the national championship the next year. And they were, and they did, and I want to say they won with one of the best games in college history. But I think about these times when you're facing obstacles that seem overwhelming. You know, whether you're down by 28 points or something far more serious, you know, you're facing an opponent, some kind of obstacle in your life where you just think, there is no way I'm going to get past this. There's just no possible way, because this thing's going, you know, going on, and it just seems way too big for me to face whatever it is. But here's the thing. I've got really good news for you. That with Christ, you are an overcomer. Amen. With Christ, you are an overcoming. Not that you will be. It's not just some future thing. No, with Christ, Scripture tells us that, and through Christ, you already are. You are positionally an overcomer. It's who you are. And remember, we've talked about this over and over. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. And through Christ, you are an overcomer. We've talked about it. That the first week, we become understanding of that we are ambassadors of Christ, bearing His message of reconciliation to the world around us. Last week, we talked about the fact that He is a masterpiece. We are the clay. He is the potter. We are a masterpiece in God's hands as long as we submit our life to Him. And this week we will look at this passage about from Romans 8. It's a really rich passage. I mean, even just this one in the commentary I was reading this week, this one little section of 8 verses is thick to read, because it's just full of depth and richness through it. And as Taylor read to us this morning, starting with verse 31, Paul asks a very important question for all of us. He says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Now, it's not just some cliche phrase, because Paul has undergone and is undergoing a ton of obstacles in his life. He goes on to say, did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give all things?" We move on to verse 35. It says, "Who shall separate us then from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" He gives this list, this long list of things that many people in facing in life would probably just give up when faced up against those things. But Paul, at this point, it's not just a list of things that we will all face at one time or another, but he has already faced most of those, except for the sword at that point, and he goes on to face the sword at the end of his life. And can all these different things stop us and break us from God's love? Who's going to separate us? The answer is none of them. No. Emphatically, no. In all these things. So who do you think you are? Who is it that you claim? I mean, as we celebrate today, we celebrate the risen Christ. We're here as worshipers of Christ. And as we celebrate baptisms today, it's imperative that we answer this question. Remember, it's being in God's will is not so much about where you are, but who you are. And so it's imperative that we ask this question to ourselves: who are you? Who is it that you are? Where do you get your sense of identity? Paul tells us that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It's not about our strength. It's not about our own power. It's not about how good or better that we are than others. But it's all about the power of the risen Christ. So those of us who are Christians, those of us who have put our faith in Christ and believed in the work of Christ on the cross and the fact that He 3 days later was risen again, you are more than a conqueror. You are more than just an overcomer. In fact, the Greek word here that's translated conqueror or winner or victor, this little Greek word, Nikeo. Now you know where Nike got its name. This word isn't the one used in this passage. No, it's a different word. It's hupernikeo. One big word that has two different words within it. One's hooper or hyper. It means exceedingly more than. The next one is nikeo, which we already talked about, is this conqueror. You are more than a winner, Paul is saying. You are hupernikeo. It's exceedingly more than. Here's this definition. What it really gets down to, it means to vanquish beyond recognition. It's not just to just barely eke by. It's to go way past it. It's not just to win. It's to conquer beyond recognition. It means decisive victory. It means exceedingly more. And with Christ, you are hooper nikeo. You are not going to just eke by. I mean, we're talking about Egyptians following the Israelites into the Red Sea kind of moment. The Egyptians think they've got it. The Israelites are scared to death. And all of a sudden, God comes in and says, "Nope." And the Red Sea, what was dry, closes up, and the Israelites are rescued, and the Egyptians are vanquished. It's, as Lenny shared, Joshua and the Israelites taking on the biggest fortified city in its day. They used to have chariot races on the top of this wall. They were 8 feet thick. And then walking around saying, "Not by our power, but by by the power of God, we're going to stroll around and we're going to do this. And while man says, ha, 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 what are they just doing? Taking a parade? You know, just taking a walk? No, we're here to conquer the city. Not by our power, but by God's. It's Judges in verses chapter 6 through 8 with Gideon. And God is telling Gideon, this little guy, he's saying, I want you to take on the Midianites who have been terrorizing your country, terrorizing your place. And Gideon says, I'm the least of these. I'm the least of my family, who's the least of my clan, who's the least of the people of Israel. I'm the least of these. And God says, no. You're mine. He says, you are a mighty man of valor. Go and take your country back. And Gideon kind of meekly goes out and makes this call, and all of a sudden he goes, God, there's over 400,000 people we're facing, and we're going to have, I only have 32,000 people. And God says, well, that's too many. Let's do something. And he adds 300. And God says, now, go and take your weapons, your horns, your pitchers, and make some noise. And all of a sudden, the chaos of the whole opposing army turns on each other in the midst of this noise and celebration, you know, for Gideon and for God. And all of a sudden, they turn on each other and wipe each other out. It wasn't about Gideon and the strength of his men. It was about their obedience to Christ, to God. That's hupernikeo. That's who you are in Christ. You are more than victorious. Now, what I'm not saying this morning is that you're never going to face a hard time in your life. In fact, Jesus tells us in John 16:33, says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You may be tempted to declare, well, I'm not that special. I'm just a normal Christian. I can't do that. That doesn't apply to me. But we already covered this 2 weeks ago. You have the very Spirit of the living God within you. The same one that toppled the walls of Jericho. The same one that led the Israelites through the Red Sea on dry land. The same one that took care of Moses. The same one that did all these great things, that did the healings through Jesus. You have that same Spirit within you. In fact, Jesus told us that you will do even greater things. God is at working with you. You are a Spirit-filled overcomer. And if we look at Revelation 12, is this talk about the end-time believers and how they would overcome the forces of wickedness. And it states, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. And that applies to us. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. Not by your own works, but by the very blood of the Lamb. For those who are new to this, the blood of the Lamb is Jesus, who shed His blood for us on the cross. And the cross matters. Because His blood means our sins are forgiven. Through the power of His blood, we have access to the very throne of God. And by the power of His shed blood, we are redeemed from an empty way of life that has no hope. You, because of your faith in what Jesus has already done by His blood, you are an overcomer. But if you are an overcomer by His blood, you are also an overcomer by the words of your testimony. By your story of what God and who God is in your life and what He has done for you and through your life, you continue to live into not I did this and I did that, but that God has done and continues to do this through me. One day, a boy named David, who had been tending his father's sheep. He's sent to go check on the progress of the war. And basically, they have the Philistines on one side of a valley and the Israelites lined up on the other side of the valley, and they're just screaming at each other. They wake up, get up in the line, look at you, go, whoa, and go back to lunch because it's scary. It's battle. And Goliath has been coming down, this huge, huge man that has never lost. And he keeps screaming these things and challenging all of Israel for someone to come and take him on. And they're all quaking in their boots. And Saul's put out this thing, if you'll do this, I'll give you my daughter in marriage. Your family will never pay taxes, and you'll be my second in command, and all these different things. And nobody wants to take the thing. And David walks up, this little kid, he's not even eligible at this point to be in the battle. He's just taken lunch to his brothers. And he says, I'll take him on. Who is this Philistine that would speak that way about my God? And Saul, King Saul, kind of goes, you're cute. Go home, play with your toys, take care of your sheep. And he says, you don't understand. When the lion attacked my sheep, my God delivered the lion into my hands. And I killed him. And when a bear came and attacks my sheep, my God delivers the bear into my hands. And just same God who delivered the bear and the lion into my hands will deliver Israel from this giant Philistine. You think he's too fat, big to be beat? I say he's too big to miss. And that's who you are. By the blood of the Lamb, not by your own strength, and by the words of your testimony of what God is and continuing to do in you. This isn't about what you're going to become once I get my life together. No. This is who God says you are as a believer in Christ, because Christ has already accomplished it. There's a giant that no one else thinks you can beat, and maybe even you wonder about it. But you can, with the power of the risen Christ, overcome. When you know who you are, you know what to do, and you need to believe in who God says you are, not in what man says you are. You are an overcomer. And so for as believers, I want you to understand, let me encourage you to fight in two ways. First of all, fight with a conquering attitude as you face the things that you come up against. We need a conquering attitude, because tragically too many believers walk around life in a faithless, wishy-washy way. Too timid to do anything, to be effective, in this wishy-washy mindset, they lose the battle before they even fight it in the world. And God believes that you have to stay strong, because you know who you are, and you know what you're supposed to do. And as a result, what happens is, what we find is that faith-filled attitudes will lead to faith-filled actions. We do, because we know who we are, we do what we need to do. We step out on faith. And godly beliefs lead to godly behavior, because as we allow God to mold us into His image, remember, we are the clay, He is the potter. We put away the other things, and the battle starts in our mind. If you're a Christian, understand, you are not a victim. You are an overcomer through the power of the blood. Through Christ, you are a victor. Don't fall into the negative mindset, well, you know, I just can't. You've been empowered. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You grab every thought that is not consistent with what God's word tells us, and you make it obedient to Christ. Therefore, because I'm an overcomer, I'm not going to let what anybody else says about me or what anybody else might think about me stop me from doing what God has called me to do. Because I'm an overcomer. It's not my strength, but it's by the blood of the Lamb who gives me the ability and the words of my testimony to share what God is. Secondly, as an overcomer, you fight with not normal weapons. You fight with supernatural weapons. You're not limited to the weapons of this world. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power." This word power is dunamis. And it's the word where we get dynamite from. It's explosive. It's beyond just a little thing. Remember, we are more than conquerors. And in our weapons, they have this explosive power of God. They have the divine power to demolish strongholds in our world. If you are a Christian, you need to know who you are and what you have at your disposal. You are not unequipped. It's time to get rid of the excuses. You have been equipped with supernatural weapons. According to Ephesians 6, we have many. You have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith to which extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. You have the belt of truth buckled in place. You have the shoes prepared with the gospel, the readiness of peace, and you fight with the sword of the Spirit, which is the very living word of God. You vanquish the enemy because you fight with spiritual weapons that have the very power of God, and they've been given to you to use. Don't just fight like a man, but fight like a man of God. Get down on your knees and you say, "Know what? I believe my God can." Amen. Or fight like a man or a woman of God. As 2 Corinthians 4 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." It's fragile. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Why? Because we live in the power of the blood of Christ. We are overcomers. That's who we are. By the power of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony, we continue to push forward to overcome what is put in front of us. And we have the power of Christ within us. And I beg you this morning to believe it. Not just to say it tritely, but to understand that that's who you are at the base level. You are a child of Christ. Amen. The everlasting God, the ever-living God. And you have the power of Christ flowing through you. You can get past the unforgiveness in your life. You can get past the addictions in your life. You can get through everything that faces because the power of Christ flows through you. You can. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. 1 John 4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." It's time to get rid of this victim mentality that our world keeps putting on us. It's time to stop living the "I can't" life, that it's just too big. And it's time to start facing and saying, "My God is bigger still. That I am a victor through Christ." And when you know who you are, you'll know what to do, because you are an overcomer. You are an ambassador of Christ. You are a masterpiece of God. And so as we celebrate today, we celebrate with these that are going to be baptized, and I invite them to head around to the music room. I want you to know we celebrate because our God can. We celebrate not because it's by works of man, but because it's by the very blood of Christ. And so when we celebrate, now you can imagine, Texas seats 116,000 people. It got loud when Texas started winning that day, you know, against Oklahoma State. It should be nothing compared to what's going to happen today when we baptize people. When these kids, who have talked to every single one of them, celebrate the fact of what God is doing in their life, the body celebrates. Because Scripture tells us all heaven is celebrating in who God is. So I'm going to invite Brent. He's going to come and lead us. As he comes, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. The fact that you did not spare him, but that you sent him into harm's way to conquer what we could not conquer on our own. And because of the blood of Christ, we are saved. Because of the blood of Christ, we have hope. Because of the blood of Christ and our faith in what you have done, we have an eternity to spend with you. And there's nothing that can take that away. Not the frailty of our human body, not the words of man, not politics, not anything can separate us from what you have already accomplished and will continue to accomplish through those that believe. And God, as we celebrate with those today that are getting ready to acknowledge you before this crowd, may we as your church celebrate with all the celebration a victor can ever give. In name we pray. Amen.